Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. One of my favorite TV shows from when I was in eighth grade was My So-Called Life. The show is currently streaming on Hulu, if you'd like to see it. It ran only for a single season, from 1994 to 1995, in all of its glorious 90s plaid flannel grunge hair dye adolescent angstiness. The show follows a group of friends and their experiences, mostly through the eyes and internal perspective of the main character, ninth grader Angela Chase. One of my favorite scenes from the show is in episode 11, and it's set during that awkward yet sometimes exhilarating rite of passage, the high school dance. The scene features Angela's friends, the characters Delia Fisher and Ricky Vasquez. Ricky is the first gay teenage character on television to be played by an openly gay teenager, the actor Wilson Cruz. In the scene, Ricky and Delia dance to the song What Is Love by Hathaway, which was in heavy rotation on Fun 107 in the 90s, and also famous in the Saturday Night Live skit A Night at the Roxbury. But in this moment of dancing together, Delia and Ricky experience and shine out what can only be described as joy. This dance is an important moment because throughout the episodes of the show, we see Ricky struggling with how much to reveal his true self. He's comfortable in his own skin in the sense that he wears the clothes and the makeup that he wants, yet at the same time, he often remains quiet due to the bullying and homophobia that he sees and experiences in his school and in the world. But in this dance scene, all of that drops away, and Ricky lets go and fully embodies and expresses the joyfulness of who he is by dancing with his friend Delia. During the scene, which you can watch just by itself on YouTube, we see Ricky make this shift from a kind of like tame, muted, kind of like middle school, high school dancing to full on letting go. He does this first. And then Delia is kind of shocked and she's not sure what to do. And then she opens up too, and then they are just dancing, unselfconsciously, laughing. And the other characters and kids at the dance, they form a circle around them. They're cheering them on, they give them the floor. And also there are these other kids that are on the sidelines of the gym and they're kind of looking wistfully, watching Delia and Ricky dance so joyfully and kind of wanting to be them. Because in this moment, Ricky and Delia are not caring what anyone thinks. They are just dancing, fully present in themselves, in their own bodies, with one another, for the pure joy of it. Dancing features in two of our readings today. In the passage from 2 Samuel, King David dances joyously before the Lord with abandon as he brings the Ark of God to the new capital city of Israel that he has established. He and the others accompanying the Ark dance before God as the Ark, the symbol and signifier of God's presence, is brought home. David dances so exuberantly that his wife, Michal, thinks it's inappropriate. But David is dancing for God, using his body to give glory and gratitude to God on this momentous occasion. I can picture David's dance being exuberant in a similar way to Ricky's and Delia's dance. All three embody a moment of connection through dance. David dances in and with his community for God, And Ricky and Delia dance for and with one another, and in so doing, discover the joy of being who they are, which is always beloved children of God. There's also dancing in our gospel reading by the daughter of Herodias and King Herod. The authors of the Gospels of Mark and Matthew leave her nameless or call her by her mother's name. But we know that her name was Salome from the writings of the first century historian Flavius Josephus. So Salome is what I will call her today. We don't know a lot about Salome or her dance from this reading in the Gospel of Mark. The text tells us that she danced for the court and that her dancing pleased her father, King Herod. Over time, cultural and gender stereotypes, as well as sexism and less than careful biblical interpretation, have led to the assumption that Salome's dance was somehow seductive or sexualized, but the text doesn't say that. Her dance could have been seductive, but it also could have been the ancient world's equivalent of today's ballet or tap. So the Bible doesn't tell us what kind of dancing Salome did, but it does tell us that she was a gifted dancer. We also don't know how Salome felt when she danced. Did she feel joy like King David, Ricky, and Delia? Did she choose to dance for her father and the court, or was she forced to do it? Did she hate performing, or did she love it? The text does not say, and so we can only imagine these possibilities for Salome. The passage does tell us that Salome and her dancing are used by her parents in terrible ways, leading to violence and the execution of John the Baptist. Are Salome and her dancing pawns in this story, or does she make choices and have agency? Oscar Wilde was so taken by this question of Salome's agency that he wrote an entire play entitled Salome, reimagining the story with Salome at its center, rather than as a nameless character who seems to be used by others. So, we have these dancers, Ricky and Delia, King David, Salome. These dancers invite us to consider the ways that we use our bodies in joy, in dance, in worship, in relationship with one another, and in relationship to God. These dancers and their stories remind us of the ways that we as humans care for our bodies and the ways that we hurt them. These stories of dancing remind us that our bodies are good and beautiful and can be used to share love and beauty, and that our bodies can also be used to cause harm. These stories remind us that the ways we feel about our bodies, positively or negatively, and the ways we feel about other people's bodies, those feelings and how we express them matter. Our feelings about our bodies affect how we dance, literally and metaphorically, and how we treat ourselves and others. It's important to consider how we feel about our bodies because we receive so many messages about them all the time through culture, through media, through the internet. We are told that our bodies are not good enough, not thin enough, not strong enough, not healthy enough, not beautiful enough. Whole industries and marketing and advertising strategies are built on us feeling like our bodies are not good enough. Or maybe we have experienced trauma or abuse. Someone has caused us bodily harm, and we carry guilt or shame with us, blaming ourselves, hating our bodies, even when we intellectually know it's not our fault. It's not your fault. Or maybe we have suffered or are suffering from illness or pain, and we have a complex relationship with our body because of that, All of these things and others will affect the ways we dance. Whether we feel free in our bodies to truly dance as we are, or whether we feel held back. And our feelings about our own bodies affect how we see and how we treat other bodies that are different from ours. Women's and men's bodies, imprisoned bodies, cisgender and transgender bodies, black and brown and white bodies, disabled bodies, aging bodies, sick and well bodies, large and small bodies, the bodies of animals and plants, the vast body of the earth itself. Do all of these bodies in our culture have the same opportunity to dance, to fully express with joy who they are? How does our culture teach us to fear or hate or limit the dancing of certain kinds of bodies? The truth of our bodies in our Christian tradition is that they are beloved. No matter what they look like or feel like, our bodies are beloved of God. Your body is beloved of God. God loves our bodies. Yes, we humans may use our bodies in sinful ways, but our bodies themselves are good and sacred and holy. Jesus reminds us of this. Jesus, by his very existence, through the incarnation, reminds us that God came to earth in a human body, experienced pain and death, experienced life and love, in order to be united with us in this bodily life and in the resurrected life to come. What if we internalized that message? What if instead of internalizing the cultural or experiential negative messages about our bodies, we internalized God's message that our bodies and all bodies are beloved and holy? What would that mean for our relationships with one another and our neighbors? What would it mean for our relationship with the body of all creation? What would it mean for our dancing? If we believed in the belovedness of our bodies, could we dance with love and joy and freedom? The kind of dance we wish for Salome. The kind of dance embodied by King David and by Ricky and Delia. A dance for and with ourselves and one another, a dance for and with God, who loves us. Amen.